Welcome to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Salus Realty Group. Salus Realty Group, your premier destination for Nashville, Tennessee real estate. I'm your host, Sean Smith. Joining me tonight, Ann Kimmel, also of Penalty Box Radio, and perhaps we'll get a visit from Alex Doherty of the Tennessean. Well, Ann, the regular season is over. How you feel about that?
It went fast.
Yeah.
I really feel like the regular season went very fast, but it was like the tale of multiple seasons in 82 games. But I'm excited for the postseason. I'm very excited for the postseason.
I feel like there were a lot of storylines throughout the season, and that's probably why it seems it's like almost like a tale of two or three seasons in there. You know, you kind of had this beginning period where they were kind of feeling each other out. You know, there's a whole new vibe in the locker room, new coach, new GM, a lot of new players in, a lot of old players out. And then you had some early success, and then maybe whatever the opposite of success is, and then some major success, like crazy point streak, and then kind of the run to the end of the season and the playoffs. I agree. Of course, we know that the team is locked into the first wild card spot. They're still in limbo, though. They're waiting to find out who they will face in the first round of the playoffs. And it could be Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Most likely will be Vancouver. Could be Dallas. We're going to have to wait until the night to find out, but we should find out tonight.
One would hope.
I don't want to get into the specifics. If you were listening to Preds Insiders right before we came on, they discussed that, and there's no reason to just go over and over it again. We want to talk about something a little bit different. So because we talked about the playoffs so extensively last week with Alex here, and of course because on Preds Insiders they talked a lot about the playoffs too, let's focus on the regular season. What happened during the regular season? And I'm really excited. We've got a really special guest.
This is going to be great.
We put it all out over social media, but one of my favorite defenders that's ever played hockey, not just for the Predators, but any team ever in the history of hockey, Tony Boteto will be joining us again tonight in the second segment coming up right after our first break. And I'm very excited to have him back. He's going to talk to us a little bit about what it's like being in that locker room and being in that room when the team transitions from regular season to playoffs and all the interesting things that go along with it. I think it's going to be very interesting and informative. You don't often get an opportunity to hear from someone who's been there.
Yeah.
They're kind of hard to come by, just, you know, NHL players who've been in the playoffs wandering around.
It's going to be great to pick his brain because, like you said, we can speculate from the outside.
Sure.
But it's going to be interesting to hear what the experience is like on the inside. So I'm really excited to talk to him.
Oh, I can't wait. So we're going to get it started with the puck drop topic. And this week, do you remember your prediction for the Preds at the beginning of the season?
Yes, I just checked the receipts.
Okay, so you checked the receipts.
I checked the receipts.
Let's hear what the receipts had to say.
Yeah, my prediction was that the Predators were going to give some top teams in the league some runs for their money in the regular season here and there in some games.
Okay.
And there might be a chance for Nashville to find themselves at the end of the regular season in a similar position to where they were last year. Like, maybe they could be pushing for a slight chance to make the playoffs.
So how do you feel? Like, you feel like you hit the nail on the head?
I think I read it wrong. Yeah, I think I read it right. I think the team, for me, the team exceeded expectations. Nothing about this season maybe went the way that I thought it would. And I do think most everybody who says, hey, I thought the Predators could have gotten into the postseason, that always was attached to the caveat on the back of UC Saros's goaltending.
Right.
And that's not how the Predators got necessarily into the postseason.
That's something we're going to talk about a little bit later, too. That's interesting. I don't remember where I think I just said it over the air. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest, as much as I like going back and listening to old episodes and hearing myself talk, I didn't go back through the archives to find what I said, because I'm pretty sure what I said was that the playoffs, squeaking into the playoffs, would be considered a huge success.
100%.
And you know, look, they didn't just squeak in. They made it, and they're not, you know, second in the division or anything, but I think they battled through some adversity, and that's really, for me, the sign of a successful season at this point. It's not, I mean, yes, they made the playoffs. That on its own, there you go. Success right. for the season. For the first season, with a new coach and a new GM, and I'd say a pretty large roster overhaul. I mean, some yes. pretty big changes were made.
Yes.
But I would say the fact that they battled through adversity, even if they hadn't made the playoffs, would have left me feeling like it was a successful season.
Right. So I would agree.
Yeah. And I think, again, made the playoffs, first wild card spot, it's all good. I'm not complaining. Everybody's happy, I would say. Exceeded expectations.
I would agree with that.
You agree
I
with
think,
that?
I would think this think is an fair. Exceeds expectations on the survey.
So let's finish up the season game recap, because mm-hmm. we've done this every time we've had a show. We had three games since the last time we had a show. It was, of course, the last three games of the season. The first one, a 5-1 road win in Chicago against the Blackhawks. That was a pretty exciting game. Wouldn't you say?
That was a great game. That was a game that had me a little bit nervous, just because that can be the scenario that trips a team up. Not, and you can say, but it was Chicago. Well, I know that it was Chicago, but sometimes those are the games that get ahead of you. But that showing, I think, by the Nashville Predators, that was very reassuring. And that's the kind of game you want to go into the postseason on, that kind of performance.
Well, you're exactly right. I think the big fear, you know, you look at those last three games, and we'll talk about the other two in a second, but you've got Chicago, mm-hmm. and you've got Columbus, both bad teams.
Right.
I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. They're bad teams. Some of them, I think, possibly by design. I don't know that anyone's going to really have any problem with that. But, I mean, maybe by design, that team mm-hmm. wasn't planning to do a lot of winning. But the reality is that's the game where you say, okay, this team could come in and say, hey, you can't just ride off into the playoffs. You're going to have to earn it, and you have to go through us first. But they really didn't.
No.
They really didn't seem to do that. And, of course, that was the game where Philip Forsberg.
Let's go.
Not only did he break the single season record for most goals, but he had a hat trick as well.
He did.
And just pushed it further and further above and beyond 43, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And it was one of those things I think everybody was really pulling for. And can we give a shout out and a God bless to the Predators fan who ran down and couldn't quite get his hat over the glass, but eventually got it. And friends, that's a lesson, and stick to it.
You know, I think it's always sad when you see a hat trick on an away game.
And it is.
Just a few hats, and you're like, you know, if this had happened at Bridgestone, it would have been
amazing.
Mass chaos.
Yes.
The National Guard would have been called in.
You would have had toupees.
Toupees being thrown on the
ice.
Oh,
100% for that. Ooh. Forsberg record break.
Wow.
Hat trick. Come on.
I think it was interesting. We were riding home. I think we were at hockey practice with my son, and we were listening to the game on the radio, and we were like, hey, he broke the record. He's like, really? Like, yeah. He's like, oh. He's like, I hope he gets a hat trick and just keeps it going. And sure enough, he fell asleep on the way home, and I had to wake him up and say, hey, he scored a second goal. And he was like, what? We got to get in the house and watch the rest of this. So we go in, and, of course, third goal, he starts screaming, having a good time.
That's awesome.
Those are the things you remember. It's hockey. It's family.
That's right.
It's community. It's great. I couldn't ask for a better way for that game to go.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then, of course, the next game, home win against the Columbus Blue Jackets, another bad team. 6-4. What do you think about that outcome?
I don't think the numbers really tell the story of the game. I will say that the third period sort of turned into like some street hockey almost for the Nashville Predators. Like structure, you know, be darned.
Yeah.
So I think that they kind of lost a little bit there and allowed the score to be much closer than the actual game appeared. But again, you know, that's just another opportunity for Nashville to say, okay, what can we be doing in this game that quote unquote doesn't mean anything to
Correct.
Get us in the right place to go into the playoffs?
I agree with that. And am I super worried about the result of that game? Not really.
No.
And then here's the thing. The last game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, who really needed the win.
Yes.
They really needed the win. They lost 4-2. But There's a big bright spot in that game, and I'm going to use that bright spot to transition into the rest of this segment. We're going to talk about kind of like the big storylines of the season. And one of those, of course, if you've been anywhere within 100 miles of me at all, I've been talking about this a lot, but that would be Jeremy Lazan, Predators defender, breaking the single season most hits in a single season record for the NHL, not just for the Predators.
That's right.
I'm going to be honest. To me, that's exciting. And yes. It may not be one of those records that comes along with a fancy trophy or anything or a presentation at the award ceremony, but it's always fun when you're going for something like that. And it's kind of fun to look at the standings on that to see how Matt Martin's had a stranglehold on the top
yes.
five spots and just to see Lazan climb slowly, slowly up. And it's really interesting to see now Lazan's on the top of that list. If you look through the NHL records page, you don't see a lot of Predators on
no.
there. And that's why, to me, I think that's really cool. I mean, this is a relatively young team. You know, they've
right.
been around for 25 seasons. You've got some teams that have been around forever.
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 Yeah. What I love about that record for Jeremy Lazan is not even so much the quantity, but the quality with that record.
Yeah.
You know, not only did he have this quantity of hits, but the way that he used those hits in his aspect of playing a defenseman, it's just one part of just an overall improved game. And
right.
he hit wisely,
yep.
which is not a sentence that I ever said to my children, hit wisely. But for Jeremy Lazan, he hit wisely.
Not your child, though.
Not my child.
Out.
So have at it, Jeremy
okay.
Lazan. And he did.
And I think, too, you know, he wasn't chasing hits.
No.
I think I even heard him say, you know, I think I could have gotten a few more, but I couldn't abandon my post and what I needed to do. You
right.
know, it was, sure, there's an opportunity, but just because there is an opportunity didn't mean it was what was best for the team.
That's right.
And I really like that this was a record that was broken not by just trying to let him hit people.
That's right.
It was
nerve-wracking
right
when he missed a couple games, but Jeremy Lazan did that. And I agree with you. Kudos to him because amazing record.
Yeah.
Amazing record and done the right way.
Now, I have an interesting thing to add. Of course, you know, we already talked about Forsberg's, you know, his franchise record for most goals in a season. I don't want to say that that's not an important story on. That was really cool. It's great.
Amazing.
You know, they went from never having a 40-goal season to suddenly having two and now three and then almost 50. Fun fact before we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the NHL records page, and this is really interesting to me. Ryan O'Reilly is fifth in the NHL for faceoffs won in a career.
Nice.
Unfortunately, number two is Sidney Crosby.
Eh.
Number three is Kopitar. So they're still active. They're still going. It could push that a little bit farther to make it, then it could be reachable for him to hit. But it's still really cool that he's up there, see
yeah.
how far he gets. So when we get back, we will talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Tony Boteto. Very excited about that. But before we go, Preds fans, you ready for the face-off? Just like hockey, home buying is all about strategy and timing. Salus Realty Group knows this game well. They're the MVPs of national real estate, getting you the win with every transaction. Find your champion property at salusrealtygroup.com. Salus Realty Group, the power play for your home search. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. This segment of Penalty Box Radio is brought to you by Truvo Sports Laundry. Truvo Sports Laundry is Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service that uses ozone technology to clean the smelliest, dirtiest sports gear, such as hockey and football pads. The O3 process kills 98% of bacteria and 100% of viruses. If you've got a pile of nasty, filthy, stinky sports gear, either because you play rec leagues and can't be bothered to clean it, or you have teenagers, then go to TruvoSports.com and sign up for a cleaning today. They will come to your house and everything. Truvo Sports Laundry, Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service. All right, and we're back.
We're back.
We're excited to be here. Joining us for his second appearance on the show is the one and only, a real beauty, Tony Boteto.
Tony.
Every time on here, fellas. I got a nice new nickname. I like it.
What did we say last time? I can't remember.
I think I was like the legend or something. I was like, oh, that was a hot start. But how's everyone doing?
Good, Tony. Good. We're really glad to have you here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Excited to be here. It's always fun. And always, anytime I can hop on and join the crew, it's always a pleasure. So thank you again.
Oh, no, anytime. Look, we'll have to have you come in the studio and stay for a whole show sometime soon.
Yeah, I like that.
Playoffs get going. It'd be great to have you come in and talk. So listen, Tony, I don't want to, you know, cut off the chit-chat, but we've got some really important things to talk about, and, of course, we've got a limited time to do it in. So I want to get to a very big question. I think a lot of the people out there listening, you know, they follow hockey. They don't cover it like Ann and I do, but they do follow it, and they know that things change between the regular season and the playoffs. And you were with the Predators for three very solid playoff runs, including the Cup Finals run as well as the President's Trophy season. Now, obviously, Preds are headed back to the playoffs once again, and they're faced with some time off before the actual playoffs start. What's it like being in the room when the team has to make that transition to the playoffs from the regular season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the biggest thing is the amount of detail that goes into the playoffs and the video sessions, and even little things like travel becomes a big, big thing that is kind of has to be harped on. Usually when you throughout the course of the regular season, you're going to a city the night before, you play the game, and you're 90 times you're out of there, the next night, if not the next day. With this, especially having the week off, each day is going to be accounted for and, very detailed through the process.
So obviously things get more serious, right? I mean, it's funny, I think, to the casual observer to think that it could get more serious than it already is during the regular season. But with the playoffs, things are just more amped up, right? It's all very official. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So just to get into like a little more detail on it, you're playing so many games throughout the course of a season. Tuesday night, you might have a back-to-back or whatever the case may be. So now that you know you're playing a team, are they set with Vancouver currently?
It'll be determined tonight.
Yeah, it's either them or Dallas. Is that the
That is correct.
Possibility? Yeah. So basically right now they're probably going through exactly what both of those teams' tendencies are. Then I remember with Lavi was really structured. So I remember our first meeting after we found out who we were playing in all those years. You literally go through each player and you go around the room, and if you knew him personally or what his tendencies were. So it gets really dialed down from an individual standpoint. And then just little things like, this guy might be dealing with a left shoulder injury. I know a buddy of his, or whatever the case may be, as much information per guy. And then from separate from that, after you do the individual meetings, you'll know exactly, forecheck, the line change tendencies they try to do. You'll have a goalie session video of, whoever they're playing in net might have statistically a low blocker percentage or whatever the case may be. But it really gets amped up, a lot of analytics, a lot of details, and you'll know exactly what's going on come game one.
Tony, I'm just going to say this. I think as you made the comment that if anybody knows the player personally, I think that caught Ann and I really off guard, because it never occurred to me that, like, obviously guys know each other from, from junior hockey to national teams and things like that, college, whatever it is, that you would then use that information to your advantage.
Oh, yeah.
You said, like, maybe this guy's dealing with a shoulder injury. I mean, is there anything you're like, this guy can get really, thrown off easily if you do this, or this guy can get, you can make him really mad if you mention this to him? Is that part of it too, or is it just physical stuff?
I mean, it's a mixture. I mean, come playoff time, you're doing everything possible to get an advantage to win. It's the best time of year to play. Whatever helps to get your team, to the next round and kind of go on a run, and hopefully at the end of it, you want to win it. Obviously, that's every 16 teams, one of them is going to win it. So, I've been in those meetings quite a few times, and it gets pretty detailed. And you can be in those meetings for a couple hours of going over, individual guys, and he might be dealing with whatever, a physical injury, whatever the case may be. But it ramps up, and the attention to detail, I know I keep saying that, but it really becomes a very important thing come playoff time.
Well, that color me shocked.
That is fascinating. That is fascinating. Yeah. So you mentioned talking about, you know, these 16 teams are going to get a shot at the Stanley Cup. And we always hear people say, once a team gets in the playoffs, anything can happen. But really, Tony, what does a team that's seeded seventh or eighth, what do they have to do differently in the postseason if they want to take out some of these top teams and find their way into a conference final or the Stanley Cup final? What do they have to do differently?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for us, I mean, we were the 16th seed the year we swept Chicago and wound up going on a run that so far has been the best in Predators history. I mean, even the, I think 2 years prior, we went 7-7 with the Ducks and San Jose, if I believe.
Yes.
And nobody was projecting us to beat Chicago that year, and we go on to sweep them. But, I give a lot of credit to our coaching staff. Lavi was very, very good with the structure of us. But at the end of the day, you're playing a game where, you know, any team can win. And if you get, going on the road early on, you split a series, a home and whatever, you win one of the two first games. It's anybody's bowl game at that point. So I really believe that the simplicity of the game and just, kind of having the mindset that we're in this thing, we're one of the 16 teams and anybody can win.
So when you're looking at Nashville, they're still waiting to find out who they're going to play. How do you balance rest and recovery that you need after an 82-game regular season with carrying momentum into the playoffs and kind of continuing and keeping the energy up? How do you navigate that as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I think emotions come, this week. You get excited. I think the resting becomes, I want to say, irrelevant, but you find ways to find that energy. You're playing for the Stanley Cup. It's your dream as a hockey player. I mean, it's something that you always want to do, and you're in that moment to play in the playoffs, and I think it's something that's, kind of just something that you find the way to do it. But I would say a big thing for the term of the week is I don't like to change too much. I think you kind of got there for a reason, and you kind of stick to what you guys been doing, kind of status quo, and just continue on the thing. And obviously little things throughout the week change, a little more meetings and stuff like that. But for them, practice-wise and stuff like that, I think you try to keep it as what you've been doing throughout the course of the year.
Okay, so tell me, what's the real difference here? Because in the regular season, 99.99% of the time, you're playing a different team every night. Sometimes you happen to face them back-to-back. But with the playoffs, it's the same team, could be up to seven times. You're looking at, a two-week span. How does that change things on an in-game basis with your interactions between the other team as well as what you and your teammates talk about after the game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no how do I say this? There's not many friends unless they're on your team in the playoffs type thing.
Right.
I've played against buddies in the playoffs, and you kind of put that aside. There's not usually see guys after the game. There's none of that, stuff like that. I feel like that's somewhat obvious. But in terms of, the in-game stuff, you'll make adjustments. And, if Vancouver or whoever they're playing is doing something that they haven't seen in the regular season, that will be talked about after the game. But once the series start, you're so prepared or should be so prepared that going forward, it's literally just game by game. And your mindset is the next game. So it really doesn't change too much once the series start. The one difference between the regular season and playoffs is just there's a lot more attention to detail leading into that series.
So Nashville has a couple of players. This is going to be their first NHL postseason experience. What's the biggest lesson a player learns in that first postseason experience? What do they find out about playoff hockey?
For me, when I played my first playoff game, the intensity level is ramped up, and the atmosphere is louder. The emotions are louder. Every goal scored, there's going to be a celebration, and it's impactful. And every shift, it feels like, the pressure is getting more and more. It's exciting. Like the roller coaster waves of the playoffs are pretty significant. And you know, cool on how the NHL, I feel like, is the best playoffs to have that. I'll never forget my first playoff when we lost to San Jose in seven. I remember Paul Gossett was sitting next to me, and he's like, it's a crazy – I think it was his last year. He's like, it's crazy, man. You never really appreciate, like, you know, your times playing in the playoffs, and I think it was his last year. And he's like, it's a weird thing to say, but you lose more times than you win. And he's like, don't ever take a day off in the playoff or like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, don't ever underestimate being in the playoffs. Like, appreciate it.
Well, that is the wisdom of experience right there. Tony, listen,
yeah.
I tell you, we've got 600 more questions listed, and unfortunately, and I really mean unfortunately, we've run out of time. Man, I hope you know what an invaluable resource you are to helping people understand what goes on, because, you know, look, a lot of people in the world haven't had the experience you've had, and we really appreciate you taking some time to come talk to us about it and educate everybody out there listening into what goes on behind closed doors. As always, love having you on the show. Looking forward to having you on again. Thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to having you on next time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Like I said, always a pleasure to come on, and I know it was kind of quick today, but whatever. We'll set something up a little longer, whatever you need.
All right, I appreciate it, Tony. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
You too. As we look ahead to the next Predator Showdown, it's the perfect time to plan your future in Nashville. Salus Realty Group is ready to assist ensuring your real estate goals are met with the determination of a playoff chase. Visit salusrealtygroup.com and let's start mapping out your game plan. Salus Realty Group, where every closing is a championship victory. Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by the Music City Marauders. The Music City Marauders have announced their spring tryout date. Spring tryouts will be held April 29th through May 2nd. This is the chance your youth hockey player has been waiting for to try out for a competitive youth hockey team. I can speak from experience. This is an incredible program and a great opportunity to train with great coaches and play against some of the best teams in the country. Head over to www.musiccitymarauders.com to sign up for tryouts today. Okay, we're back, and we've got Alex Doherty of the Tennessean with us. Alex?
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello.
We're so happy.
I apologize for being late.
Well, you know, your chair should still be warm because Tony Boteto was just in it. And it was
okay. Incredible.
It was amazing.
You really missed out on an incredible learning experience. I tell you what, it was awesome.
I will have to listen back because I was not able to listen to it, but I'll have to go back and listen to it. But it's been a busy day, but I'm glad to be back. And I guess, like, are we recapping the season? Is that what we're doing?
So we're gonna talk about the regular season results. We've kind of got some topics for us to discuss, and I have some things. Anne has some things. I'm sure you'll have things to add. I think it'll be pretty easy. You know, you don't need any notes to go off of. You've been following this as closely, if not closer, than both of us have. So I know we're all pretty well schooled on this Predator season. So what I want to talk about, and I think, you know, again, we're not talking about the playoffs. Been a lot of playoff talk already. We really want to wait and see who the Predators are going to end up with. But I want to talk about some of the biggest surprises, the biggest storylines, maybe some of the biggest disappointments of the season. So which one of those do you want to start with, Alex? I'll let you have your choice.
Let's go with the surprises.
Okay. All right. So, Alex, what would you say is your biggest surprise this season?
Oh, I have to go first.
Oh, you don't have to go first. I was just being kind.
Well, okay. So I don't know that there's one in particular. I think, and this could really, well, because here's the thing. Surprise can be a negative thing, right? You can be surprised by something bad happening.
You're right.
And I probably had two of those. The biggest surprise to me is that this team, for about half the season, did not have UC Saros playing very well, and they still managed to be in this position. Now he's playing fine. It's different now. But the first half of the year, we were talking about what's going on with this guy, what's happening with his normal performance is not there. Everything looked off, and now they are still where they are. Yeah. The other surprise...
I was going to say, Alex, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
This is something that we mentioned we were going to talk about later. I mean, here it is, right? That's crazy. I mean, Anne said that her prediction for the season was that the Predators would squeak into the playoffs.
They could do it.
If they were carried on the back
of
UC Saros. And, I mean, that's kind of the thing, is that half of this season he was not at peak performance level. And like you said, he's back where he needs to be. But, yeah, I mean, this team did what they needed to do without the help of uber elite goaltending.
Yeah, and the other surprise that I would have is probably like just the impact that O'Reilly has had. I mean, it's such a hard to describe the difference that he brings with everything that he does, and really, unless you see it every day, you don't really get it. But he is. I'm surprised by how different the locker room and other players are with him in the room and impacting the young players. I think I was saying this recently, like, I think Philip Forsberg had a great relationship with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. All the, like, nothing was between the, like, they were fine. Right. No issues there.
Right.
But I don't think that I don't think Philip Forsberg would trade Ryan O'Reilly for either one of them right now.
No, I agree. Yeah. And I think, and I look back, you know, talk about the impact he's having on the locker room, but with the younger players too. I just remember beginning of the season, you would see him before and after, you know, regular practice had ended, and he'd be passing with or working on shooting with or all these different things. You'd see him out there with Evangelista a lot, you know, and that's who you want to, that you want to learn at from Ryan O'Reilly. Like, that's,
yeah,
that, you know, if we go back to the beginning of the off season, really, during all of the moves that were made, you know, what did Barry Trotz say? He wanted people that wanted to come to Nashville to win, not to retire. And O'Reilly, you know, he's had, we could say it's a solid season. It's the second most points he's had in a season in his career, the second most goals he's had in a season in his career, and he's doing this at the ripe old age of 33. That's pretty impressive. I think Anne has a surprise, her biggest surprise she wanted to talk about, which kind of goes along the same line. So I'm going to turn it over to Anne.
Yeah, definitely dovetails in with this Ryan O'Reilly conversation. And Alex, I just want to second and amen what you're saying about Ryan O'Reilly, because there are so many intangibles as you watch him in the locker room, as you just sort of watch the air around him. And it's hard to put into words what he brings. But I also want to point out another veteran brought in who I think has been very impressive and a huge surprise, I think, if a lot of Nashville Predators fans will be honest, and that's Gustav Nyquist. You know, when Barry Trotz said, hey, I'm going to sign a 33, soon to be 34-year-old who happens to be coming off of a shoulder injury, and I'm going to sign him to a 2-year deal, I think that's one of those things where people were like, are you really there, Barry? What are you going to do with that? But you look at what Nyquist has done. He has his second best season in goals, best season for assists, best season of his career in points. And then I decided, you know what, if you're going to talk about his age, let's just do a quick dive into his age.
Okay.
Because I know that was kind of a concern. And if you go and look at players who are 34 years old who are playing in the NHL, Gustav Nyquist is first in assists. He is first in total points. He's tied for third in power play goals, first in power play assists. And then I said, let's look at all of the players in their 30s, because you know that's ancient in hockey years, which apparently are something similar to dog years.
A real miracle.
Yes. Like, how could they possibly do it? Only three players in their 30s recorded more points than Gustav Nyquist in the entire league this season. Only three players.
Impressive.
Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, and you know who the other one is?
Sidney Crosby.
Nope. Don't look that far.
Ryan O'Reilly.
Nope.
No?
Roman Josi.
I don't think of him as in his 30s.
He's ageless.
27.
He's ageless. He's the Dick LeBeau of hockey.
Gustav Nyquist had more points than Sidney Crosby this year?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So only three players in their 30s had more points.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, Gustav Nyquist, go. You go. And you got him on a 2-year deal, and he has shown he's going to be worth every penny.
I was going to say, just while we're like, if we're going to go right into the disappointments here, what's interesting about Nyquist is that he is a direct product of two disappointments on the team.
Yeah.
So if you don't have Gustav Nyquist, you're probably needing a better season from Yusuf Parsonen and also from Philip Tomasino, because those are two guys that when they signed Gustav Nyquist, they were like, people were like, well, where's Tomasino going to go? Or where's Glass going to go? Or where's Parsonen going to go? And literally Nyquist took over Parsonen's role and just like destroyed it. So he was great. But yeah, I mean, two of the disappointments right there, Parsonen, Tomasino, while we're, you know, talking about recapping the season, that would be my two.
Oh, I'd have to agree. I mean, that's, you know, I have a list of biggest disappointments, and one of them is unfortunately Yusuf Parsonen's
yes
play slash demotion. It seemed like it happened rather quickly, but
isn't it interesting though that there was such a ruckus about Yusuf Parsonen and Phil Tomasino and getting them minutes and finding them a place, and when that didn't happen, and you think, hey, you know what? Let's see what they're going to do this offseason. But it's interesting that when they stepped away, other players kind of stepped in, and you didn't necessarily have those moments when they went down to the AHL of like, well, if Phil Tomasino would have been here.
That's very true.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason. They're going to have some more competition with some guys from the AHL as well. But yeah, hopefully they'll bounce back and be competing, you know, in training camp.
Well, we've had to have a short segment here because we went over a little bit with Tony Boteto, but I think it was worth it.
Worth it.
So this is a good discussion. There's plenty of more meat on the bone, fruit on the tree, whatever you want to say. But we've got to go and pay some bills. So the show's almost over, but your real estate journey is just beginning with Salus Realty Group. You're always on the winning team. Their dedication to clients is as relentless as the Preds on a power play. Lace up for your real estate play at salusrealtygroup.com. Salus Realty Group, where every deal is a hat trick. Welcome back. This segment of Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by Main Event. Main Event just opened their newest location in Murfreesboro, and let me tell you, it is worth the drive, and they've got everything you need to have a good time. They've got bowling, billiards, laser tag, a full menu, a full service bar, and a whole lot of games. This brand new facility, it's just not a refurbished Kmart or something, or an old Big Lots that they've decided to give new life. It has plenty of room for your family, team, or corporate event. Ask about the Penalty Box Radio special when signing up for a year-end sports party or other event for some extra fun on us. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've heard of some people doing this. You go in, you book your party, you say you want the Penalty Box Radio special, that play time they give you doubled. So if you're paying for a half an hour, you get an hour. If you're paying for 2 hours, you good Lord. If you're paying for 1 hour, you get 2 hours. If you're paying for 2 hours and you want 4 hours,
go for
it. You may not be able to stand up on your own when you're done. Anyway, head over to mainevent.com for more information today. Now, coming back into this segment, Ann has a little something she wanted to add.
Yes. So when I was looking at stats for Gustav Nyquist, I did overlook Sidney Crosby does have 92 points. I do think it's worth mentioning that Alex Ovechkin, the weekend at Bernie's of the NHL, has fewer points than Gustav Nyquist. So, you know. But those young whippersnappers, 34 and below, y'all can't. Y'all can't even with Gustav Nyquist.
That makes sense.
That's my take.
For some reason, I thought you were talking about assists at first too. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
okay. Either way,
he's killing it.
It's time for the main event 3-on-3-on-3 draft. We have a very exciting topic, Alex. I don't know if you're ready for this one or not. I'm ready. It's stuff I've been thinking about for a very long time. But we are going to draft sports heartbreaks now. There is one caveat here. We cannot choose the 2017 Stanley Cup final. It's just not fair. I mean, obviously, we would all have it on our list. So we're just going to take it off the board. We're going to let Ann go first. Alex, you get to go second. I, Sean, will go third. And we're not going to do snake draft. It'll just be 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
Okay.
All right. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Ann, let's hear it.
All right, my first pick, two words, and I suffered through this personally, grew up in Pennsylvania, but watched Western New York television and sports teams. Those two words, my friends, wide right.
Oh, boy.
Scotty Norwood. I locked myself in the bathroom and cried 4 years in a row. But let's just talk about that one specifically. That was just excruciating, that missed field goal. Excruciating.
What year was that, Anne?
That was 1991.
I couldn't quite 19, place it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one.
Oh, it was a terrible one.
It was hard on a lot of people. Alex, you've got the next pick, and I don't mean to rush through this, but we've got so many things. So
I'm going to go with the Super Bowl in 2000, the Titans Rams Super Bowl. It's the first time I ever cursed in front of my dad.
How old were you at the time?
I guess I was 16, maybe 15.
16? What? Now
I was 15. I was 15.
Alex, just initials. Which word did you say?
There was a G and a D.
Oh my!
And we were at a church.
Oh my!
Oh wow,
it
Alex!
It was bad. It was real bad.
Alex is making an early case for the win here, and I don't like it at all.
We were at a church watching it, and I realized just how bad it was. But that should tell you how heartbreaking the moment was.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. I agree with you on that. That was rough. All right. I'm going to go with my number one. This is a really broad spectrum event, but I would say the steroid scandal in baseball was really hard on me, specifically because, as I found out during the steroid scandal, was that my favorite players specifically were just raging out on steroids, hardcore, on a regular basis.
That ruined a lot of fun.
It was rough. I mean, I'll make no secret of it. It was Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, the Bash Brothers. But, man, what a blow to a young boy who was just falling in love with the sport, right? Mm. It was rough. Now, granted, when I found out about the roids, I was not a young boy anymore. But it was like all my childhood heroes were now criminals. Criminals.
Not great.
So, Anne, you get the next pick.
All right, my next pick. I was married 6 months. My husband walked in. I was sobbing hysterically because Walter Payton had died. Walter Payton was and is the reason I love sports. So the death of Walter Payton for me, I mean, like, kept me up nights. I was heartbroken. Heartbroken.
Wow.
Love sweetness.
Well, that's terrible.
Oh, it's terrible.
So my second pick is also going to be another Titans one. I'm going to go with the AFC, I guess it was the divisional or the wild card or whatever it was, when the Titans lost to the Ravens, the missed extra points, Al Del Greco, Ravens, just like, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. That team was like so good, and it was like Eddie George and Steve McNair, like just the peak of everything they were stood for. Ray Lewis versus Eddie George, all that.
That was a big storyline. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not for everyone.
That was huge.
Yeah. Not the guy that
got stabbed. I'm going to go with that.
But, you know, whatever.
That was a whole thing.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. All right, okay. I'm going to break my next one out. And this one, if the first one wasn't any indication of where this is going, I think you know the era I'm speaking of. But it was a chilly October evening back in 1988. I was gathered around the television by myself watching the World Series game one between the Oakland Athletics and the Dodgers of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm just going to be honest. During that game, I felt like the 1988 Oakland A's were an invincible team. I thought no one could touch them. I thought the Dodgers were probably at best going to maybe win one game. But nothing broke my heart more than Dennis Eckersley on the mound, bottom of the ninth, and out comes, and I mean, if I remember it correctly, Kirk Gibson comes out in a wheelchair. They had just brought him back to life after digging him up, like, earlier in the day, and they're like, buddy, you're coming out to hit, and he was like, okay. Talk about, you know, ancient and old, like, couldn't even walk, and he gets up, they prop him up against, like, a chair or something, I don't know. He had one crutch, I think, in the batter's box. And he rips a home run off Dennis Eckersley in that glorious mustache. And that probably, at that moment, was the worst thing I'd ever experienced in my life as far as sports heartbreak goes. And it was in that moment I realized that no team was invincible. And even though I convinced myself that it was just the only game the Dodgers were going to win, it was not the case. Anne?
I'm so sad. This is a terrible topic. I feel very sad. My last pick is one of those bittersweet moments. My last pick, and I still cannot watch this video. I will cry.
Oh, wow.
Is Pecorine skating around the ice, waving goodbye to fans after the shutout, his last game at Bridgestone Arena, where he had that shutout against Carolina, waving to the fans, Willie Donick, Chris Mason getting a little verklempt, Pecorine mouthing, I love you, guy. Like, I can't even talk about it. Just because end of an era.
100%.
It was, I can't.
Somebody should put a statue of that guy
they
outside
really
of Bridgestone.
They really should.
Right, Alex?
It still doesn't make up for that moment.
Right. No, it doesn't make up. I was at that game. It was an emotional moment for
I can't
everyone.
Even watch the video.
All right, Alex, you've got your last pick coming up.
All right, so I'm going with October 10th, 2010. The Atlanta Braves versus the San Francisco Giants. This is game 3 of the NLDS. So the Braves were – this is not quite the baby Braves. It's a little after that, but – Freddie Freeman's like really young, and there's a lot of young players on that team. And they tied up the series in San Francisco. Rick Ankiel hit one into the bay, and then they come back home and they're up 2-0 in the top of the ninth. And Brooks Conrad, a name that Braves fans know exactly who I'm talking about. Brooks Conrad had two errors. It might have been just one error, but it was a big error that basically cost the game, and they lost.
The first error was putting him on the field, Alex. That was
yeah. There you go. Two errors. One error is putting him on the field, and the other error happened in the field. So that was a devastating blow for at the time.
Oh, I understand. I'm married to a Braves fan, so I know.
Yeah,
I remember it well. Mm. Okay, last one for me. It's my son's favorite player, Ryan Ellis, got traded in the middle of our family vacation. Of course, I'm covering the team at the time. And so I get news of this, and we have to figure out how to tell him. We tell him, he weeps for 2 hours solidly. The tears of a small child whose heart's just been broken forever. Man, it was bad. And then we went swimming, and he didn't have a good time because he was sad. So let's recap. All right, Ann has the infamous wide right.
Terrible.
Situation fiasco. The death of Walter Payton. Pecorine waving to the fans after his final shutout.
Can't even talk
Bridgestone
about
Arena. Alex has the 2000 Super Bowl where the Titans lost by 1 yard. We'll just say that. The AFC Divisional Wildcard loss to the Ravens on Al Del Greco's missed field goal. And Game 3 of the National League Divisional Series, the Braves versus the Giants, in a name that will live in infamy, Brooks Conrad, was that right?
That we can't remember.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
I had the baseball steroid scandal, the 1988 World Series, and the Ryan Ellis trade. Jake, we're turning it over to you.
And I love the wide right one. The Four Falls of Buffalo is one of my favorite ESPN 30 for 30s that I've seen.
Fantastic.
Alex, I'm a Titans fan. I wanted to give it to you, but I was too young to remember those two. If you had said the 08 loss to the Ravens, probably would have been with you.
I had the 08 on my list. I almost went with that one.
That one would have probably gotten me. But, Sean, the way you talked about that Kirk Gibson home run reminds me of my worst sports heartbreak, which is David Ortiz homering off of Joaquin Benoit in the 2013 ALCS over my Detroit Tigers. So, Sean, you are a winner.
That's right. That's how we do things here at Penalty Box Radio Live. Jake, thank you. I appreciate your input and insight on this. And thanks for joining me in the studio. Alex, thank you for coming in clutch in the middle of the game. And very exciting, I will tell you, Alex, you, on your list, almost matched my wife's list exactly. You were 2 for 3. So, and of course, thank you to Tony Boteto for joining us. Thank you for listening to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Salus Realty Group. Salus Realty Group, your premier destination for Nashville, Tennessee real estate. Also, thanks to Truvo Sports Laundry, the Music City Marauders, and Main Event of Murfreesboro. We'll see you again next week to talk about the playoffs.